I'm going to walk between there and here, between the spiritual and the physical. So I'm going to do something I've never done before. Is that too loud? Anybody feel that? Maybe slightly, but you know how loud I can get. I'm going to read from someone else's book as an opening here, and then we're going to feel some beautiful toning for a few minutes. This is from someone that's a teacher of mine. His name's Joseph Rael. His name Rael actually comes from his family line from the word Israel, which is Israel. He's a Tiwa, Piquiris Pueblo, Native American, indigenous, etc. This is from an amazing book of his, House of Shattering Light, Life as an American Indian Mystic. So let's take a really beautiful deep breath in through our nose. Get planted firmly first, feet flat, or however you need to be comfortable is fine. Breathe in. Hold that for just a few moments in the temple, and then out through the mouth. Let's do that two more times. One more. Okay, a little bit of an intro here. The Tiwa language is a language that I've been real passionate about for a couple of decades now. It's a language of our piece of earth here, on what we would call Turtle Island here, the U.S., that never wrote it down. They never wrote the language down, so it was allowed to evolve, and it was always kept on a vibrational level. You couldn't just put it down in black letters or whatever on a page or a rock and then give it to someone else. It was something that was always transmitted vibrationally and still to this day hasn't been written down. Even if they write anything down, it's sort of in syllables and sounds. His name in Tiwa is Beautiful Painted Arrow. I talk about him in my book a few times, which is Tslutkoe. And the Tslut sound is the sound of the beautiful painted arrow was the arrow that one would have back in their quill, and they would not use it. If they needed medicine at any point, they would grab it to recharge in battle, and then they would take another arrow and pull that out. But that Tslut is the sound of the arrow traveling through the air, the hitting the target, and then kuhe is the sound of that reverberation across the target. Actually, let me show you this. I've done this before in here, but it's kind of the gist of what I'm talking about today. How many lights am I holding? It's not a trick question. One. You've done this before. It's always a trick question with me. You know, and we have this crazy idea, as an example. Let's say that whatever, you haven't done enough study and you're, I'm going to say this in a kind way, inbred into Christianity, and you don't know its actual history. You don't know where it came from, who wrote what, where any of that, how it was, you know, morphed, etc., which is what I've spent my entire life studying. It would be kind of like saying that, you know, Jesus is the great exception would be like picking one of these dots and saying that's the exception. That one's the exception to all the others. Does that make any sense whatsoever? How many lights are there? There's one. Of course, that one light, you can see it up here, that one light hits the prism of what we would call the manifest universe. Break it, Dale. And it refracts in all those different directions. It's got those angles of the light. The word angelos in Greek is where the word, it's the word angel. It means messenger, but it's also the word angle. Interesting little thing there. So keep this in mind as I'm reading this from Joseph. He said, I have learned that there's only one actor in the cosmos, and that actor is creating billions and billions of resonating images that continually manifest and return to the one. Sound is the soul of the one who drinks the light that it is creating moment by moment in order to continue existence. This house of shattering light, this perceptual reality in which we live and of which we are a part, exists only for the soul's continuing. Now it is time for death's illusion to give way. along with the illusion of material form, before the reality of those vibrations, I believe that if we all learn to listen, the vibrations will give forth their meanings, encoded in the crystal soil of our native earth, to fill the close-pressed ear with song. Big breath. In the experiences of my life through loss and transformation, ceremony and story, I have learned how to emerge continually from the individual self, and I call that the small s self, that is Joseph Earl Head Rael, into the vast self, big S, in the kiva, which is a prayer chamber beneath the ground, in the sweat lodge, in the sun dances and long dances. I have learned to die to myself in order to know the self. The self, big S. Dying from this house of shattering light into states of ecstasy. In the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, she says that she returned to oblivion from a type, big T, into a type, small t. From that vast self into that human self. And then returning again, that the vast self might drink continually the light that it is creating. To know ourselves as the vast self playing is to be both human and divine. It is for this we are all born, to be mystics, to be fully alive and dancing. That's all. Powerful. He's a powerful artist as well. We're going to tone a sound that I've toned in here before. I'll introduce you to this in a moment. This sound that I've made, that we've toned in here several times, it's actually represented by the necklace I have. Everybody sees that, right? Yeah, Dale, we see your necklace. You see what's on it? Of course you do. It's the Eye of Ra. If you've ever studied, especially if you do deep studies of ancient Egypt, one of the things they love to do is take human bodies apart. And if you take the human head, the skull, and saw it exactly in half, you'll see the Eye of Ra down to the brainstem with the pineal gland right in the center, which is right behind here. It's in the geographic center of the brain. That Ra sound represented the light of the sun, the only begotten. That also represented the light of God. Okay? Moonlight, on the other hand, which is the sound Nu Ra. What does Nu mean? What does new mean in English? I know, that's what everybody says. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't think about that. New means beginning, fresh, unique, start. Well, is there anything that's unique about moonlight versus sunlight?
The sun would be the beginning, wouldn't it?
Well, moonlight is, it's a reflection of sunlight. So is there anything new or unique or fresh about moonlight, really? Only that it's reflecting. So God light was also called Ra. Human light was called Nu Ra, just like moonlight. So if moonlight is sunlight, then human light is God light. Nenhar nor kun kedem b'din asha nor kun means your light. When he said that, let your light shine before humanity. Not men, bad translation, let your light shine before humanity. So we've got that direct light, Ra, which would be considered masculine in its reflection. My direct light is dwindling a little here. So you don't really see much of a reflection there. But what I'm essentially getting across to you is that light and its reflection are the same light. So the sound Ra was represented by that third eye, which is on a lot of the American money. Is it the dollar that has it at the top of the pyramid? Right there, as a matter of fact, okay? Let me move up. So, actually, I was right on it, interestingly. Let me put it there. This actually is the throat chakra. I'll explain what that means. But the particular sound that this makes, I'm not going to bring the volume up right now, but the particular sound that emanates in resonance to your throat chakra is the resonant sound of the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid. What does that mean? That means that you can hit any other frequency, any other note, any other tone, and you'll have a nice experience. If you hit that exact node and you've got just a few pips, or what's called cents, in either direction of that frequency, when you hit that particular note, the room lights up. not only with sound and refraction and reflection, but also with light and a particular hum vibration, cosmic vibration that can't really be explained. Funny thing is, we don't know exactly what the pyramids are today because, of course, they say tombs. If there's anything they're not tombs. Funny thing about it, we may never know exactly unless we get the information from somewhere else, because everything that was inside of them was stolen and taken out and put into museums. So any of those kind of devices that were in there were taken away. The circuitry in this is actually in the same positions as the chambers in the Great Pyramid at Giza. Okay, I'll come back to the paradigm. But the sound of the going one chakra up, which is this one right here, the third eye, that was exemplified and opened through the sound of Ra. Can you say that? Ra. That's that word for godlight. It was the most often toned sound. Animal controls here. Is that for me?
Probably.
I hope not. And cops. Somebody around here is rabid. So Bill's the first to go. No, actually, it fits in with something I'm going to mention in the talk today. But so Ra is a sound. It's all over. It's all over what's called the Egyptian Book of the Dead, although there's no such thing as an Egyptian Book of the Dead. That's a compilation of texts and writings from all over the place, including in the temples. But have you ever tried, anybody here ever tried toning the sound Ra, just a simple Ra sound, see what it feels like? So let's do that really quick. It doesn't matter what pitch you hit, but I'll just give you a pitch if you want to get near it like this. I'm going to put my hand here to keep from ODing my mic. Let's do that one more time, wide open, so the police can hear, okay? Big. You feel anything from that? Do you think if I wrote the word Ra 1,000 times and read that to you, do you think you would have gotten what you got from doing that? If I talked about Ra for 20 minutes, would you get that? No. So let's talk about another aspect of this. What it would happen if let's say that what happens if you move closer to the light of the sun? You what? What would happen to you? You burn, okay? Now I'm going to ask a question that if you've been involved in the New Age or New Thought for decades, you're going to have a problem answering. Even though your gut's going to tell you the answer, you're going to have a problem letting it out of your mouth. And here's the question. What happens when you move closer to the light of God in your life? You what? You burn. Ooh.
You burn out the residue of the bad.
You burn, period. You burn. Why?
Well, even says in the Bible that no one can stand before the presence of God.
That's theology. It doesn't matter.
But the flesh.
That's just theology. What do you feel? The reason you burn is because there's still something in you that believes that it's not that light. Which means you're believing the reflection more than what it's reflecting. And remember what I always say from St. Francis, what you are looking for is what is looking. Okay, big. That means the love, the peace, the prosperity, etc. that you seek is actually that which sees through you. And we have this thing that's happened in the publishing industry in the last century that keeps telling you that your thoughts create. But unfortunately, that is a publishing boon. Your thoughts create zip. You've never had an accurate thought in your life. Every single thought you've ever had is nothing but a delusion. Your thoughts are the effects of something else. Thought is the crystallization of what? Beliefs or thoughts? Thought is the crystallization, the effect of feeling. Feeling is the sensation of pure frequency and vibration. If you believe your thoughts, if you believe any thought you've ever had, you're believing in something that doesn't exist. You're believing in what Sri Aurobindo in The Life Divine called a supra-rational enigma. And if you don't understand what I'm saying right now, it's because you're trying to think about it. Blessings to you. I used to love that. You know, Stuart Wilde, I did a lot of mentoring with him for about 20 years before he passed. And he would always say, you know, Dale, you know, the ones stuck in the head, they're trying to grok it. You just got to send them blessings and let it be. Because they make things really hard on themselves. You can't get there from here. It's not possible. It will never be possible because here is not an entity separate of what it's observing. Here is the movie projecting on the screen. Anybody ever go to a movie and all of a sudden you're like, you forgot you're watching a movie and you're in it? And you're right there and your heart's going, dig-a-dig-a-dig-a-dig-a-dig-a-dig-a. And you're freaking out about something that's not there. You know, Yeshua added a lot to this with some interesting observations. This is a phrase, or this is a word. Technically, it's Anna, but it's usually pronounced Ana or Ina. Okay, Anna. It's just three letters, Aleph, Nun, Aleph. That Anna sound is the word for I. So if Yeshua, as an example, said, Anna Nuhra, remember that word? Anna Nuhra Deyalma. That would be him saying, I, Jesus, am the light of the Alma world of all existence. That's pretty much what Christianity hangs its hat on, isn't it? They hang their hat right there. They hang their hat on another phrase. What's that one? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Which is one of the most, first of all, it was not in the earliest texts. It was a subtext written in the margin, on the right margin. Okay? It wasn't there in the original text. It was added later. John was originally called, the book of John, was originally called the Gospel of the Beloved Disciple, and it was not about a man. It was about a woman. And then a guy named Irenaeus, who was the one that started pulling the canon of the Old and New Testaments together back in the late 2nd century, a guy who was a misogynist, which is not a massage therapist. Anybody know what a misogynist is? Woman hater, literal translation or literal definition, woman hater. He changed it from the Gospel of the Beloved Disciple to the Gospel of John. Anybody know why? Anybody ever study real history of the Bible and Christianity? I don't mean the menu that you're served in a theological seminary, which is what they want you to parrot back. I mean the actual history. He changed it because he recalled a conversation when he was a child of his father with a friend of his father. His father was also a misogynist, hated Gnostics, etc. And his father said, there's no way that the beloved disciple could be a female. There must have been an error when it was written. So if anybody ever comes into power, they should change that. And I think it was probably John, is what his father said. So when he came into power, guess what he did? Isn't that nice? Anyway, nice little side note there. You can't let women be on top or equal ever. So, and I mean that tongue in my cheek, okay? So, interesting here. I, Jesus, am the light of the world. So it's like picking one of these dots and saying that one expression, one of these dots is the light of the world. Just one. Well, if you want to look at it very vaguely and generally, it's true. But if it's one of them, excluding others, if it's the great exception, it's not true. If it's the great example, it is. Okay? But what's interesting is that he didn't say, it's not written in the Aramaic text that he said, I, Jesus, am the light of the world. This word was actually there twice. Ana, Ana, or Ananna is the way we actually pronounce it in Aramaic. Like this. Anybody ever hear the word Ananna before? Inanna was the ancient Sumerian goddess of love, fertility, and warfare. She and her twin sister, she and her, see the reflection, well, you can't really see it so much. She and her twin sister came down into the underworld. Where's the underworld? You're in it. This is the underworld in the ancient teachings. It means that, you know, by a phrase of Arthur Young, who was one of the creators of the Bell helicopter, astrophysicist, he said that there is a fall of man for the same process by which light first precipitates or condenses into matter, losing a degree of freedom in exchange for permanence or now-here-ness. So in other words, that undivided holiness does concentrate, crystallize to become you and I, etc. Now, of course, I just kind of gave you the answer there without paying attention. If one Anna means I, what would two mean? We would be changing it. What's a literal translation? I is a literal translation. Nice, huh? Shows you a little about translation there. It wouldn't be we, it would be I. What that means is I am I, or the I within the I. Remember, St. Francis, what you're looking for is what is looking. In other words, they're not talking about the reflected light, they're talking about the light that's reflecting, which is the reflected light. But let me ask you a question. Can a reflection give you all of its what it's reflecting? Can it reflect everything? That's not possible. So why are you beating the crap out of yourselves so much? To be perfect. To be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a bad translation. That word is gamira, which means whole or complete. Nice, huh? You are perfect. You are whole. You're just not finished. Nice. So I'm going to move in a direction here a little bit more with sound here for a second. You know, we've wasted so much time on this thought thing, spending so much time on your thoughts create your life, and we need to manifest, right? That's what all the companies are telling us, manifest. All right, let's see how much we actually know. Does anybody know what manifest means?
Existing.
Make real.
Come into existence. What's obvious?
Arthur said it. It means obvious. It doesn't mean create. It doesn't mean to bring into being. It means none of those things. It means obvious. So if you've got, like, as an example, an affirmation, and it's 2% of your iceberg, and you're using that affirmation, you're not going to get the creation of the affirmation unless it's an exact, direct harmony with the rest of your iceberg. So when you use the affirmation, it's not meant to be something that's a creative statement. It's meant to be something that's a catalyst. It is a creative statement, but it's not just shaking your 2% of your affirmation, your conscious mind. It's shaking the whole thing. So what's the overall energetic imprint that you have? That's what's creating. So if you're saying, I'm fully loved in all areas of your life, what's obvious to you is what's actually going to shake. Think about that. What you really feel, not what you think. Your thoughts do not create. Pure science has been telling this for a long time. Spirituality for millennia has been telling us that. Stop believing that. Let's go a little deeper into that. Attraction. Everybody loves the law of attraction, right? If you tell me you're attracting something, what's your affirmation? What's obvious to you? Let's say I'm attracting a car, and I'm working with the law of attraction. What does the word attraction imply? I'm bringing it, which means what? I don't have it.
Right. You're focusing on the lack.
You're focusing on lack. If you tell me you're attracting something, you're telling me what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And that's what's obvious to you. You're being sold a bill of goods that's not real. But they can hook you because they can hook you through your emotions because they turned you away from your feelings. They want you to focus on what's positive, right? What's uplifting and positive? Uplifting's good. Which one's the positive? The white, right? Which one's negative? Black. Which one's masculine? White. Which one's feminine? Which one's light? Masculine. Which one's dark? Feminine. What are they telling you to turn away from? The feminine. This has been happening for about 3,500 years. It's nice, isn't it? It's very convenient. It's very convenient because the positive is the arc of electricity. It's the serpent of fire that arcs out and creates. It creates for the culture. It gives people wealth. And it's great. It's awesome. Yet the feminine is, she's the magnetism she nests in upon herself. She pulls into the womb, and that's the other half of the creation process. It's got to be in perfect balance or it won't work. It's a funny thing that there was a sound called chrism or Christos back then that was the awareness of the place where the two are in perfect balance. And yet even Christos, Christ, has been marketed as a masculine thing today. when it was about balance. So, all right, Dale, you're kind of like talking about things. Look, I'm going to play you something here. This is a tingsha, okay? You hear that wobble? In the East, that was called beating. It was called beating, okay? What is beating? These are two pieces of material that are very close in mass and pitch, really close, but they're off just enough that there's that little bit of a, what would be called a phase or a modulation. Okay? I'll give you another example of that. I can hit them both together. Sounds nice, but what if I hit them separately? You hear the difference? Hear that? So this one's a little bit lower. What's the easiest way for me to bring the two into harmony? Into unison, let me put it that way. What's that?
Hit the middle.
Well, then I just have both at the same time, but they're still not in unison. Someone in Ohio a few days ago said, take one away. I'm like, well, it wouldn't bring them into unison, but it would certainly solve the problem in a way. File some off. It's to remove mass from the one that's heaviest. It's not about what you put into the higher one with the illusion of becoming a faster vibration. It's about what you take away. It's not about studying more and tons of workshops. It's not about thousands of books. I've read thousands of books. I've studied textbooks like this from colleges, from language symposiums, lexicons, dictionaries. It didn't get me there. As a matter of fact, it made it really hard for a while for me to let go of that. And I'd sit there going, not able to grok things that didn't exist in the first place. Yet, all these years I've been saying, look, it's about frequency and vibration. It's about frequency and vibration. So let's move. Start on a low. This is the low chakra. Just a pure standing tone. Actually, let me turn that down. And big energy jump. Feel that tone? Do you feel that anywhere in your body? Feel it kind of low, don't you? There's no right or wrong to this, okay? I'm going to add a second tone in. This is actually putting out the frequency of, the center frequency of what Eastern science and philosophy, and I say science, recognizes as the center frequency of what's called the root chakra, the bottom chakra. Feel that? The paradigm is literally breathing right now. Feel that going up a little more, intensity. You feel that modulation? It's two tones that are really close. I'm going to bring them close together again. Everybody breathing? If it feels unpleasant, how would you like to have that sound going on all night long while you're trying to sleep? You wouldn't sleep, would you?
You wouldn't.
Two dump trucks running next to each other. It's probably a good example. So you feel this? How about this one? It's not so bad. Maybe it feels a little loud. I'm going to move up. This is the heart chakra. Add in another frequency here. When you take a big deep breath in through your nose and then out the mouth, put your hand in your heart. Just bring your awareness to your heart. Bring this even closer. You notice what's happening? The closer I bring the notes, the modulation gets a little slower. The pace feels not so intense. Hear that? That would feel more relaxing than, you want to feel that all day? You're trying, as an example, Does it matter what you think about this? Does it really matter what you think about it? It doesn't. What matters is how you what? Feel. So I'm going to go up one more. That's the throat chakra. That's the resonant tone. I'm going to go back to just a simple tone. That's the resonant sound of the throat chakra. Woo! Well, that was an interesting sound coming through the speakers. Interesting. So, yeah, you'll hear all kinds of things. And you have zero choice in what's going to resonate, including in you. You have no choice in that. Your choice that you do have is what you do about it when it starts shaking. In the beginning was the what? The word, right? Wrong. If there's anything that milta in Aramaic or logos in Greek do not mean, in either case, it's word. And just because you capitalize it and make it word, it still doesn't make it a good translation. The closest translation to that would be frequency. Anybody know what frequency means? It's a very simple definition, and I can actually show it to you. What's that?
Energy.
Frequency.
It's the number of times something repeats in the space of time.
Bingo. This is frequency. You've got one. Now you've got two, now you've got three, now you've got four, now you've got five. It's framed in time, how many oscillations and or beats something has in a given time period, okay? And that's what frequency is. Anybody know what vibration means?
Is it a reaction to frequency?
Essentially, it's the response that what we would call physical matter has in response to different frequencies. Okay, I'm going to go up another one to the...
So it's new frequency.
Sort of. But that's exactly my point, is that it is essentially, you know, if that's the pure frequency here, the reflection of it and or its movement through what we would call physical matter, that's what vibration is. Now... has anybody had any feelings over the past couple of years that you just had a particular day and you got up and things just, you felt something that was just off and you couldn't put a finger on it? Have you ever felt anything in your life that you didn't have a thought about? Thoughts are things. Thoughts are masculine. They're physical things. Marcel Vogel was taking pictures of thoughts in the 1970s when he worked with IBM with something called Vogel crystals. Marcel Vogel crystals, which are a part of the John of God crystal bed, things like that. Thoughts are things. You ever, like, just have a particular that you weren't able to frame with thought? That's what we're moving into right now with humanity. We're moving into a space of our existence evolution where there's no matter of thinking that's really going to help you through this process. What matters is how well you're able to process and or allow what's resonating within you. It's as if, you know, and I use the phrase from Father Thomas Berry. He said, the earth was once molten lava and now it is singing opera. And it's as if every single note, every single instrument in the orchestra right now is sounding. Those things that aren't sounding, those things that you're in resistance of, you know what those were called in ancient times? Demons. We're told demons come from somewhere else, right? Well, in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, or excuse me, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, which is not in most Bibles because it was removed, it talks about Jesus casting out seven demons from Mary Magdalene, but the phrase is Shiabea, Shiadena, Pek. Shiabea is the word seven in Aramaic. Shiadena is the word translated as demon. What that means... what Shiadain means is this: a force, an energy, a voice, a vibration that's been restricted. And then that word apek translated as cast out, what that meant was to, it meant to exercise or stimulate the movement of something. Demons are those little frequency patterns, those soul portraits that you have in your energy field, in your temple, in your soul. When you're not breathing, you lock that into the system. And that doesn't necessarily just mean somebody pulls out in front of you, or you found, you know, 9/11, perfect example, and someone says, turn on the TV. Do you understand what I'm saying? You lock something in the system when you're not breathing, but it also happens during childbirth. Men know all about this, right? They know how hard childbirth can be. My knuckles are evidence, but I don't think I got the full impact even from that. Okay, yeah, I know. I'll never do it again, I swear. But if you think about that, what I'm saying is the place of awakening is to be aware of, I'm going to move up to the crown chakra. Let's just spend a minute or so with this. Move some other sounds through. Breathing is the key here. That's a fifth. It's basically the basis of rock music. I'm gonna move up. That's an octave. We've got three standing octaves. Now what if I pull one slightly off? How does that sound feel? When I say that, I'm not asking you to frame it with a thought. Let go of your thinking. Your thoughts have never saved you in the past. They're not going to save you now. What matters is how you feel, okay? You don't need to frame it with a thought. I'm going to move up a little bit higher. I'm actually going to change. Sound nice? Does that feel good to you? Doesn't really, does it? Why is it getting better? Because now it's in coherence. It's not wandering all over the place, but let me explain this device here now that we're sitting here with it. Note that higher frequency still up there. That's three octaves above the root sound. This is based on the technology that the Egyptians used for the pyramids. This device has been around for about 10 years. A lot of the electromagnetic science that's in this wasn't even discovered until about 3 weeks ago. A scientific report was published. It's based on science from a guy named Nikola Tesla, was working on a device just like this that would get into the liver and the kidneys and would actually stimulate different body parts, would actually vibrate them, resonance. Edgar Cayce, Atlantean, Pleiadian, Lemurian. Sounds crazy. Dale's going out on a limb now. But let me explain what this really does. This instrument, first of all, this instrument's alive, and I'm not being metaphorical here. Anybody that knows me knows I don't really go out on limbs unless I've got some solid footing for it. But I've been shown how to control this without touching it. And the weird thing about it is when I'm in those states of being, when I'm controlling, and it you need like a certain ecstasy of the soul to be able to have it. In other words, you're sort of in a particular state of being where you're really open. You're not even really controlling it. It's as if you're seeing everything as one contiguous? It sounds like phlegm. One continuous sine wave. And it's like I'm seeing what's happening before it happens, etc. We just did a session with Nia, a friend of ours. She's a really well-known Hollywood actress, and we spent 3 days with her at Mountain Light Sanctuary earlier this week, last weekend actually, and including doing a lot of sessions with Paradigm. And it's incredible because I can't explain this. The guy that created this is a guy named August Worley. He worked one-on-one with a guy named Bob Moog, who's the biggest-selling analog synthesizer guy ever in the history of humanity. He took like things like theremin and skyrocketed it out to lots of people. All these interesting instruments, songs like Nights in White Satin from Moody Blues. There's Moog synthesizers all over those. But what the scientists have discovered just in the last few few months in Giza, at the Great Pyramid at Giza, is that the pyramids, what they're doing right now is actually working with the Great Pyramid, wasn't actually a device that, well, it wasn't a transmission device, it was not a weapon. It was nothing of that sort. It was actually used with the connecting waterways beneath it and the sun charging the open spaces of the waterways. It was actually used to lift the vibration of the community, however subtly. You know what's funny about that, though? Science can't monitor those vibrations, so they say they're not real, which is a funny thing about science because it can only work with what it can see. But since it's not able to see and or comprehend things like that, it doesn't know what to do with it. So what we are doing is I'm taking all of this teaching I've been doing for 20-some years, talking about frequency and vibration, and we're actually giving people an opportunity to be able to spend time with this, minus that. What happens is someone just lays on the floor, and this is above your head, but the key is that you wear headphones, and there's a slightly different amplitude of frequency patterns, same frequencies but slightly different amplitude in each ear, and it within a matter of seconds it takes you into a state of entrainment. Anybody know what that is? That's either between two frequencies or two separate fields of information that your mind basically goes into a trance, which is exactly what our culture is doing to us right now. Anybody addicted to social media? You don't have to raise your hand. The news, all the news about the orange monster in a big white house or anything like that. It's very entraining. It's very entraining. And what's funny is they don't have to use words or information or thoughts to entrain you. Just sounds. There was, I'm going to start wrapping this up, but in just after World War II, some new war planes came out. And they had this strange thing happening where the pilots were having these out-of-body experiences looking back at themselves because they had two engines that were really close in vibration but just slightly out of calibration with each other. And their brain, let me explain what that is. So right now, I'm going to take it down. You hear that? That wobbling sound is a third frequency. That's what's called modulation. The relationship between those two notes that are really close, your brain will actually, in headphones, will actually modulate to that third tone, which is the relationship between the two, the difference between the two. And if you get down into certain areas like two, which is really low, let me slow it down. 2 to 6 cycles per second, really 2 to 5 cycles per second, you're in delta, which is deep sleep, which is what was happening with these pilots. The two engines were just slightly out of tune with each other, and they would actually pass out in the cockpit. And they would have these experiences of being outside the glass, looking at themselves, still flying the plane, even though their head had fallen sideways. And they were still flying the plane. Is that something you want in your warplanes? Doesn't sound like a good idea, does it? But what I'm telling you is this is what the world does for you. You know, Yeshua said you cannot serve both God and mammon. He didn't say money. The word's mammon. Mammon doesn't mean money. It means materiality, which means the belief that all this is real. And whether your human self and your vast self are in or out of phase with each other is the experience you're going to have in this life. And if something like this is too strong for you, that means that's a good place to look at what you're really feeling in your life. I'm going to turn the volume down. So what happens is you lay down, a process is 60 minutes, which includes a little bit of opening and space before that comes in, and then you get like 10 minutes of just laying there and being with it. And the only way I can really explain it, I'm not trying to sell anybody. If you don't feel it's for you, it's not for you. I agree. This is the closest I've ever gotten to what I would call a galactic transmission system. where there's essentially, there was a woman in Raleigh a few weeks ago who said that it was like we were playing her music out of her. And at the same time, there was this higher vibrational frequency transmission that was for her, that's only for her. And it's interesting because it was able to, she was able to get what would be called energetic reconciliation or recalibrated vibrationally while in that entrained state without her thoughts needing to do anything. She wasn't journaling for 6 hours, which won't work. You can lay on a psychotherapist's couch for 3 sessions, 1 hour, you know, 3 1-hour sessions a week for 20 years. You won't get what you can get from just pure frequency and vibration. So what I had said to Bill was we've been out doing big events called I Am the Cosmic Vibration Sonic Immersion Circles with it, but we've also been doing as many as 4 days of solid one-on-one personal sessions with people traveling across the eastern U.S. But what I am offering only to people here that are here right now today is dramatically reduced price. And if money's an issue for you, come and talk to us. We'll figure something out. Because to me, you know, Spiritual Light Center is basically our family. It's like a homecoming. You can feel the energy in the room right now. It's palpable. We leave it on actually quite a bit, even with the volume off. And the first time we went out with it was for 5 days. And for 2 days, my wife and I were in deep detox because we were with it like 10 hours a day for 5 days, and we went home just from that. This here, this is ours, this one. That one's ours. This one here is the owner's or the inventor's because ours won't be done till like October, it looks like now. But anybody have any questions? I don't usually ask for questions. You probably are like, what's going on exactly? That's where I want you to go. If your brain doesn't understand what just happened, you're in a good place if you can't understand it. If it's totally flipping you out, good. Because this is where humanity's moving back toward technologies that were here thousands of years ago. Science still has no clue how those stones were moved to build the pyramids. Yes. All right, I'll say what I'm allowed to say. First of all, the science proves, and this is a patented device, the science proves that this stimulates the body's innate self-healing mechanisms. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, is like, can this heal, blah? You know, the answer to that is yes. You know, blah as in... You know, yeah, here's a really great visualization for that. Imagine you've got a sandy beach towel and someone goes, wah! That's basically what this does. Now, if someone goes into a session and they're holding on, this is an interesting phenomena. We've seen it twice. If someone comes in and they're not breathing and they just don't like it, they can't stand it. We were doing sessions with two at once if a couple wanted them, and we had to stop because the only way I could work was to read the energy between them. I had to read the modulation, so I was already a few steps removed. And then what was happening is one would want it stronger, one would want it a little less intense. So I had to stop doing that. But what I'm saying is we had two people that weren't able to be open with it because they did it because the spouse wanted to do it. And it actually was canceling out frequencies. They wouldn't sound. Another thing that was happening, and I'm going to keep expanding on your question there, but another thing that was happening is we had, for one person, a particular chakra wouldn't show up, which happened to be this one. It wouldn't voice. Even with a standing wave, well, that's what resistance is. I can't explain that. The inventor of this totally and completely gets it. He calls that the invisible hand. But electronically, it's not possible. It's not possible. There's some other, I don't know, otherworldly thing going on here, but what I'm saying is what this does is, and I can be literal in the science, this is essentially a resonance and or, you know, shaking loose of the impurities that block the flow of whatever kind of frequencies aren't voicing in the system. So in terms of like the healing, what I can say is it does stimulate the body's self-healing mechanisms. It can lower blood pressure. There's all kinds of things that I'm allowed to say, and there's also a lot that I can't because, again, it's pseudoscience. But in the end, I don't Don knows how excited we've been about this for years, about getting this, and we finally have one. There's the heart chakra. And it's showing, but essentially all you do is you lay there and with the headphones, and there's an interesting interchange of vibration and frequency.
And you can see or monitor or where this thing is affecting you?
Well, here's what it does. There's a root sound. There's a root tone, which is the color that is, so this is the heart chakra right now. There's a base chakra, and then there's two, this is like having three completely tunable crystal bowls or singing bowls, etc. What I do is I'm not reading on a thought level what's happening. It's moving you. We move you through each of your seven chakras, frequency patterns, and then what's happening over here is happening depending on the transmission coming through. I know I'm on maybe on a limb here for people that are used to me being so concrete, but basically what you need comes through that. Very literally. And rather than someone going in and diagnosing a problem, what this is actually doing is essentially kind of like, imagine you've got a piano and there's a few keys that have tape or grit or something on them. What we're doing is going in and hitting those particular keys and unraveling whatever it is that's keeping it from resonating. I can't explain the things that we're hearing from people. I can't explain it. I just know that I know what it feels like to be open, and I've been a very left brain guy a lot of my life, embracing the right a lot more. And this bridges the two in a way I've never seen, except for intensive like 2-hour breathwork sessions. And this is even different from that. But any other questions? We can go anywhere from 1 minute to 13 minutes per chakra. Really, I can do it manually and as long as we need to. Like, we can go back to a particular chakra. We have a friend that just passed from, basically a tumor behind his heart in New Jersey, and we did a session with this and a John of God crystal bed a few weeks ago just to get his, he asked if he could open his heart. And he had no idea what chakra it was going through. And he wasn't really breathing right on the first three. And it got to the heart chakra. And all of a sudden, his breath started moving. And he started to cry. He had no idea because we had a blindfold on him. So he couldn't even see the color. And I doubt he was counting. But and I've got tons of scientific reports behind that. But yeah, it can be anywhere from one big wallop session. It can be smaller sessions. It can be, you know, on a regular basis. Yeah. Was there another question? Wasn't sure.
I have a question and comment. First time I heard chakra, it was blocked chakra.
And a blocked chakra is what a demon is.
And could it be that if a chakra is really blocked, those frequencies aren't going to open it up necessarily?
Well, no, they can. It just depends on the participant if they're allowing it or not. And that's where the entrainment comes in. The entrainment supersedes your conscious mind in such a way of them feeling they can resist it. They can still resist it even with that, but it lowers that resistance a lot. It's sort of like a good way to put it is, you know, you're down in a roller coaster and you hit a hairpin turn. You're not thinking, now was the gas bill 2233 or was it 3322? You're not thinking in those moments. You're just open. You know, it's that kind of, I'm not saying it's like going on a roller coaster and a hairpin turn, but what I'm saying is you're just there and you're having that, and it's a really incredible, it's almost like experiencing your own symphonic music. I don't know how else to put it, but anyway, so what I'm saying is today we're offering sessions for anybody that's interested. Do you mean like with this?
Yes.
This goes where it needs to go, and what needs to happen needs to happen. People can have like a session where they're totally blocked. The key is just being aware that as much as you are able to remember that your breath is moving, but this will take you into still point as well, which is that space between the breaths, which is a really profound space of healing as well. Yeah.
How can you tell when one chakra is complete to go to the next one?
There is no such thing. You know, it already is complete. It's just there. It's different in every moment in time. In terms of the timing of this, what we do is we take people through, you know, each of the chakras for a set period of time. And if they want to go back and work on a particular one, we can do that. Is basically it. Yeah.
The I am I. Does that have anything to do with the way that God described himself to Moses?
That's a different phrase. That's Hebrew Eya Ashar Eya. Which really means I am becoming that I am becoming, I am flowering that I am flowering. There's a thousand ways you can translate that. And I see, like, some people say, I am that, comma, I am. That's bull, because there's no punctuation in Hebrew. But anyway, so I went over a little, you know, but if you feel that, you know, and I'll say this too, just in closing, we ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being just really relaxing, let me test the waters and see how it feels, versus 10 is wide open, galactic. We can give you anything within the parameters of that. And I mean, if people wanted repeated things, we would come back here and, you know, we could do more here at a future time. And of course, part of what we would bring in goes back to support the Spiritual Light Center, because this is family to us. We've never done that, you know, with a lower price before. I just felt like I wanted to do that here. So,
where are you based out of?
Asheville. So we're not that far. Yeah. Sorry for running over my time, but thank you for being open. And just remember, you know, let go of trying to fix your thoughts, because even the act of trying to fix your thoughts is the affirmation that your thoughts are broken. And that's a trap. Just come back to frequency and vibration. The more time you spend in silence and nature, your thoughts will naturally recalibrate themselves. You don't need to hammer and paste them. Just remember that. Thank you for being open.